Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. By Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to look a little portion here when after Satan's thrown down to earth. Let's stand up, beloved, and read verses 12 or verses 7 to verses 12 in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 12. Let's read it together. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God, in the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And here's our verse, too. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The name of the message is the blood of the Lamb. Look at verses 10 and 11 here again. Our text, we see this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, that's Satan, is cast down, which accursed them before our God day and night. And they, that's the saints, how do we overcome the evil one? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, beloved, Amen. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now a preacher of old once said, Imagine a man's drowning in the middle of a lake. If I row out to him and give him a book on swimming and nothing more, that doesn't save him, does it? If I tell him to swim harder, he still isn't saved. If I drag him within 2 feet of dry land, he's still not rescued, is he? But when I get into the water and lift him out and place him safely on to the shore, then and only then is he safe. Well, beloved of God, so it is in the gospel. We are saved, rescued, and delivered by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And again, that's how we overcome, is by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And through his shed blood. His blood was shed to redeem our eternal souls. The price that God demanded for the ransom of our souls is the life of Christ. And his shed precious blood is a ransom. Remember, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, right? Well, he's the sinless one, so he's dying for sinners, though, isn't he? He must shed his blood. The blood must be shed. That's why it's so criminal, people taking the blood. Taking the blood out of hymns, taking the blood out of things, and not talking about the blood of Christ. There's no salvation outside of the blood of Christ. We're not half saved or partially redeemed by anything we do. No, we're saved utterly and entirely and eternally by the doing and dying and the rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's all him, isn't it, brother? It's all him. Nothing to do with what we do at all. Oh my, there's no such thing as us squirming along behind the rowboat of salvation, as some might say, and choosing to get on the rowboat. No, Christ must save us. He must reach in and save us out of that depths of those waters. And you know what the waters are? It's the waters of sin. We're swimming in an ocean of sin, beloved. And Christ rescues us. He rescues us from that. Puts our feet on firm ground, which is him. And to be saved means to be rescued and delivered. That's what it means. Have you been rescued and delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, praise his mighty name, because he did it all. Oh my, so to be saved means to be rescued and delivered from all harm and danger. All harm and danger. We're delivered from all our sins. We're delivered from the punishment of our sins. We're delivered from the wrath of God. We're delivered from the law of God by the precious, precious blood of the Lamb. The Passover Lamb, God's Passover Lamb. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh. Oh. And if we're still in actual danger, then we're not saved, are we? No. If there's the slightest danger that we can lose our salvation, then either we're not saved or Christ didn't accomplish anything. Oh, my. That can't be. That can't be. Amen, Brother Dave. He accomplished our salvation, didn't he? It's sure. He finished. He cried, "It is finished." And that means it's finished. By the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved by his precious, precious blood and by his precious works. Oh my. We're saved. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. Saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? God has made us safe in Christ. Secure. Eternally secure. I mean, no man can pluck us out of the Father's hands. No one. That's how secure we are. No one can pluck us out of Christ's hands, and no one can pluck us out of our Father's hands. And you know, no one even includes us. Not that we'd ever want to get out of his hands. No. My, oh my. Say it's not so. My, oh my. My, oh my. We are his sheep, and he's our shepherd. Therefore, Satan cannot destroy us. And the only way we overcome Satan is by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto the death. We're his sheep. Scripture says we're the sheep of his hand. Therefore, God himself is our shepherd. God himself. God himself is our shepherd. God who controls everything and orders everything. All at the same time. Do you ever think of that? Ever think of that? There's things going on right here and now, man. And not only is he in control of all the things going on here, he's in control of all the things in all the known universe and everything you can see and you can't see. Visible and invisible. Now, our finite minds can't fully grasp that, but it's true. It's true. Oh, my. It's wonderful. Now, we're his sheep. And Christ is our shepherd. Therefore, Satan can't destroy us. Now, in Scripture, we discover terms such as false brethren, false prophets, false witnesses, false accusers, false Christ, false apostles, and false teachers. But we do not encounter false sheep. We do not encounter false sheep. Sheep are sheep. They're 100% genuine. Wasn't it Levi's used to put genuine Levi's jeans on their stamp? One of those guys did. We're genuine sheep by the grace of God. By God's choosing, by God's redemption, by God's amazing act of regeneration. My, oh my. Isn't that wonderful? God's sheep were always sheep. Now, we were enemies in our minds, as we saw last week, by wicked works. But we were always his sheep. He'd known us from eternity. He loved us from eternity. God the Father. Think of this, too. God the Father's loved us from eternity. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, loved us from eternity. God the Holy Spirit loved us from eternity. All according to their plan and purpose. That's amazing. That's too much for my little finite brain to take in, but it's true. And by God-given grace and faith, we believe it, don't we? We didn't believe that before we were saved. But now, oh my, let me tell everyone. I'm saved by God. You know, God saved me. God saved you, Dave. God saved us, man. God himself in the flesh. Woo! There's no other salvation except for him. No other way. God himself left heaven, sent by the Father to redeem us, beloved. Oh my, it's wonderful to shed his blood, to redeem our souls. And all that time his love set upon us, we weren't even a twinkle. We weren't even, our mom and dads, they weren't even a twinkle. That was 2,000 years ago. And yet he shed his blood to redeem our eternal souls. This is good news for sinners, I'm telling you. It's wonderful news. There's salvation in the blood of the Lamb. There's salvation only in the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. And I mean real sinners. I don't mean pretend sinners. I mean real dead dog sinners like us. Yeah, I always laugh when people say, well, you think you're holier now. You do not know who. You do have no idea about how much I know I'm a sinner. I remember hearing somebody say one time, they said, well, you know, you don't have to tell people they're sinners. They already know it. I said, well, we need to hear it, though, don't we? Because God in Christ saves sinners, of whom I'm chief, Paul said. Paul said, I'm chief of sinners. Dave, you're chief of sinners, aren't you? I'm the chief of sinners. First in line. Amen. I'm right there with you, brother. We're all sharing the same line, aren't we? But see, that's God showing us our sinfulness. That's God showing. And I need to hear that God saves sinners, because I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God. What's that song? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Man, this is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. That's it. We don't graduate from there, do we? That's our footing right there. Our footing's on the firm ground of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the only foundation of our faith. My, oh my. Listen to this. This is how we can tell, too, that God's sheep are 100% genuine. Listen to this. My sheep, he says. Christ says, my sheep. Well, who's those my sheep? Who's those my sheep? Some people say, well, God loves everyone and he died for everyone. Well, he says, my sheep. That he didn't say, everyone's my sheep. He said, my sheep. And we know from Scripture, studying Scripture with Scripture, that there's some who are goats who are going to be on the left side, and some who are sheep who can be on the right side. And the only reason those sheep can be on the right side, and the only reason they're sheep, is because the grace of God, God's distinguishing grace. That's the only difference. Both groups are a bunch of sinners. Both groups, sinners by birth, nature, and choice. But oh, there's distinguishing grace that happened on the right side with those folks. They're born again by God's Holy Spirit, by his almighty power. My, oh my. Listen to this. My sheep, what do? They hear my voice. And I know them. That's gnosko in the Greek. That's an intimate knowledge of them. And they follow me. There's no... Well, they might if they make a decision. That's not even in the text, is it? They follow me. You know why? Because we're made willing in the day of God's power. And we run to Christ. And then listen to this. And I give unto them eternal life. Well, does that mean it's not of our choosing, right? If he gives it to us, does that mean we chose it? Now, we willingly run to Christ after we're born again. But he's the one who... He's the one who says to the Holy Spirit, go fetch them sheep. Go fetch them sheep. And you know, two people can be sitting, and one the Lord will come and save, and the other one the Holy Spirit just passes them right by. One will be rejoicing, and one will be mad. I remember Henry said, one leaves glad, and one leaves mad. Right? Amen. Look at this. And I give unto them eternal life. Christ has all the power. We saw that in the John 17 study. He's got all power. And here we go, Dave. Here's this word again. And they shall never perish. That's the words of God in the flesh. They shall never perish. It will never happen. Because they were redeemed by the blood of Christ. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's amazing. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then he says, I and my Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. Three personalities, one God. One God. And God's sheep are purchased by the Good Shepherd. They're purchased by the Good Shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, who again was sent by the Father to redeem. That's just amazing. Dave, I know we marvel at that. Sent by the Father. Sent. To redeem us. To purchase our eternal souls that we might be with God forever. My, oh my. And the shepherd's sheep are chosen from all eternity. Think of this too. Okay, so Christ is sent. Christ is sent. And he gives life to his sheep. God's sheep then are born again by the Holy Spirit, who's what? Sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever think of this? Sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the comforter. And then the shepherd's sheep are chosen from all eternity, given to the Son by the Father, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and safe forever, eternally, in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's it. But you know what happens, though? Satan attacks us, doesn't he? He attacks the sheep. How does he do that? By sending false preachers, or sending false teachers, or sending false brethren, or causing division within the church. All his goal is to lead God's sheep astray. To get our minds, and I'll tell you what, most of the time when we get in trouble, it's our own flesh. I'm telling you that right off the bat. It's us. It's us, yeah. Oh my. But our text here proclaims that they overcame him. Look at this again. And they overcame him, that's Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In John, 1 John 2:13 and 14, the scripture says this, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young man, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. So how did they overcome the wicked one? By the blood of the Lamb. Not by our own strength. We're no match for the enemy. But we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. In Christ Jesus our Lord. See, it all goes back to our King, doesn't it? He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. Oh my. And then he goes on to write this, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. That's God the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? It says, I have written unto you, young man, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. My, oh my. And yet we read false teachers will lead many astray. And if it were possible, see, it's not possible because God keeps us. And remember that part I read where my sheep hear my voice? Through the preaching of the gospel, right? And God's sheep, when they're listening to someone who's preaching another message, you go, no, that's not true. I don't recognize that voice. That's not my shepherd. He's not talking about my shepherd. Oh, and see, God gives us, isn't that amazing? God gives us that discernment. It's incredible. Mark, 13:22, it says this, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Is not possible. But we get a heap of trouble, let me tell you that. Too much wandering, brother. Oh. And the sheep learn, however, to weigh and judge each teaching by the gospel. So am I up here talking about Christ, or am I up here talking about what you have to do? Right? And that's how you measure preaching. Measure it by who gets the glory. Well, Christ gets it all. He's done, man. There's nothing for us to do, but we just look and live. And that, even the ability to look is given to us by God. My, oh my. And the false apostles play lip service to the blood and mention the blood, but not the finished work. Not the finished work. Because gospel-centered teaching's not in their hearts and minds. False teachers will always say they believe the gospel, but their man-centered doctrine usually reverts to them teaching doing and performance for salvation, which we know is false. The sheep, however, overcome such nonsense, because that's all it is. It's just nonsense. How do we overcome that? By holding firmly to the truths of Christ crucified. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What's the word of our testimony? Christ Jesus saved my soul by the shedding of his blood. Right? That's the only thing we testify about, right? Christ saved my soul. I have no other way. I couldn't save myself. And Christ saved me, hallelujah, by the shedding of his precious blood, by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we say, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Amen, eh? And Satan knows that if he can cause us to be occupied more with our failures than with the gospel, he can destroy our peace. You know? Not salvation, though, no. The Lord, however, wants us to know that those old sins of ours, those sins so black, and those sins that cast long shadows. You got some sins that cast long shadows? Particular, shameful, embarrassing sins that loom up in the rearview mirror of life? Oh, my. Rear up in the rearview mirror of life and condemn us. Let me tell you, they're all done away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are done away. Those long shadows are gone. Don't let them haunt you, beloved. If you're saved, they're washed in the blood. They're bought and paid for. And it's critical that we grasp this truth, beloved. It's crucial. And let it soak into our thinking. We must continually remember that God has dealt graciously and justly with all our failures and with all our sins. How? Through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he's dealt with our sins. Isn't that wonderful? My, oh my, I'll tell you what. That's good news. They're bought and paid for, beloved. Oh. My, oh my. But how do we make this knowledge work practically in our lives? Let's say you're a believer in Christ and you've just sinned, which we do all the time. But it's a grievous sin. We disobey the clear commandment in God's word. Maybe it was anger or lust or swearing or stealing or whatever. And the Holy Spirit immediately convicts us of that sin. You ever had that happen? Immediately they get convicted. Immediately. What are we supposed to do? Well, we repent and confess our sin before God. Listen to this. If we confess our sins, He, being Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repent and move on. Repent and move on. But then the enemy comes, or a thought comes into our minds and whispers, a fine Christian you are. You really think all your sins can be forgiven? You ever had that happen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've all had that. I've had that happen. You ever had that? Little voice. How can you be a Christian and act like that and do those things? Ha! You're not even saved. You ever hear that little whisper? You're not even saved. You're guilty. And you know it. My, how do we answer that thought? Amen. We admit we're guilty. We admit we're guilty. Oh yeah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I've deliberately sinned and knowingly sinned against God. Yeah, I'm guilty. And then that devil comes and says, how can you even be saved? Well, what do we say? We tell Satan, yeah, I sinned. You're right. I did. Nevertheless, my salvation doesn't rest upon my performance, but on the perfect performance, the perfect sin atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ in His shed precious blood that's redeemed my eternal soul. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Right? Oh my. Turn if you would to Zechariah chapter 3. Oh my. One commentator said, say, I'm trusting in the blood of Christ, but I rebuke you, Satan. Oh my. It's the blood that cleanses us, beloved. No, it's the blood. Look at this, Zechariah chapter 3. These are wonderful verses. I remember preaching on this a long time ago, and this is just amazing. Look at this. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This is just beautiful. We're trusting in the shed blood of Christ, right? Christ redeemed our eternal souls. Look at this. And He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at His right hand to resist Him. Well, we saw in our text originally opening up that Satan is, he's the accuser of the brethren. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord, that's Jehovah there, that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Are God's people called brands plucked out of the fire? Yes, they are. Now, Joshua, look at this. Now, this is a picture of us being clothed in our self-righteousness, the rags of our own righteousness. Look at this. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. That's a picture of us, just with our own sin and everything. Remember, our righteousness is like filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord? Look at this. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Take them away. Look at this. This is just incredible. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. Oh my goodness! I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee! Beloved, that's a picture of us being cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. And I will clothe thee, well, look at this, with a change of raiment. That's the righteousness of Christ, beloved. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. We're priests before God, beloved, and kings. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Woo! My goodness, beloved. What a picture. Our filthy rags of our own self-righteousness taken off and clothed in the precious righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, and what's the Lord called? He called the Lord our righteousness, isn't he? It's wonderful, beloved. Oh my, let's go back to Revelation chapter 12 now. We'll read verse 11 again. Oh my. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So we see here, they didn't overcome him by ceaseless incantations, did they? Like some do, they make all these noise and all these prayers and all this stuff. No. Was it by the casting out of demons? Nope. Charismatics are big on that, aren't they? But what formula did they use to overcome? None. They didn't have a certain thing you had to do and fall and repeat after them to be saved. Nope. Did they overcome him by binding and loosing? Now these charismatics out there, they're binding. They say, oh, we're binding and loosening Satan and the demons. No, you're not doing nothing. You don't got that power. No, they didn't do anything. How did they overcome him, Dave? By the blood of the Lamb. That's how they overcame. That's how they overcame Satan. By the blood of the Lamb and making their testimony all about what the blood had done. What the blood done for us, brother? Cleansed us from all our sins. My goodness gracious. Given us the ability to stand in the presence of God. All because of what Christ did. See, without that righteousness, that code of righteousness, we wouldn't even be able to stand in God's presence. No, can't look on sin. No. Now we're clothed in the spotless righteousness of the sinless one. Oh, my. Oh, my. My, oh, my. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They made their testimony what the blood had done before them, or for them. And they testified that their sins had been taken away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I mean, gone. Gone. And you know what? No accusation can be brought against them. None. We can stand as God's people before the throne of God, and no accusation can be brought before us or against us. No blemish. No spot. My. My, oh my. The accusations fall upon deaf ears. They fall upon deaf ears in heaven. And that's the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're guilty. Like we said earlier, we're guilty of sin. We're sinners. Even now, we're sinners saved by grace. But the accusations against us fall upon deaf ears in heaven. Because the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us. My. This is the best news for sinners, isn't it? Salvation in Christ, in Him alone. Forgiveness of all our sins, beloved. The blood of the Lamb is sufficient for our victory over Satan. Christ overcame Satan. We didn't, did He? He did. He overcame Satan. My. Throughout all the ages, think of this, for all the believers, throughout all the ages, the blood is sufficient have victory over Satan. That's all. We don't have no victory in ourselves, do we? Nope, not at all. But oh my, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, has been the refuge and fortress to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for ages, beloved. For ages. And by faith we know and claim that the blood of Christ is entirely effective to put away our sins. There's nothing else that can put away our sins but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all our sins have been bought and paid for in full. I mean, there's no demand by God for any of our sins. He's fully satisfied with the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rising from the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's fully satisfied. The devil loves to attack And this is something the devil does. He loves to attack the integrity and effectiveness of the blood. Oh, yeah. Oh, he does. And his false preachers insinuate that when Christ died on the cross, he didn't complete the work. There's still something for you have to do. There ain't nothing we have to do. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That blood saved me. I'm saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and not alone. My, oh my. And how the enemy loves to cast slurs on the Lord Jesus Christ by evil men and trying to get believers to lose their confidence in the blood of the Lamb. But I'll tell you what. That's our only hope. The only hope for our salvation is that Christ shed his blood to redeem our eternal souls. Outside of Christ, we don't have no hope, do we? But praise God. Praise God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. My, oh my. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a conquering weapon, beloved. It's a conquering weapon. Had he not poured out his own soul unto death, had he not been numbered with the transgressors, we should have no weapon with which to overcome the evil one. Because we're no match for him. Hebrews says this, wherefore Jesus, that he might sanctify us, make us holy, sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without, outside the gate. With his own blood. And scripture says in Acts that God himself purchased the church with his own blood. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that's talking about. God incarnate in the flesh. The blood of Christ is so pure that it's purged every one of our sins and set us apart, beloved. Not only has it cleansed all our sins, but it's set us apart. Listen to that verse again. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, set us apart, make us holy, the people, with his own blood, suffered without the gate, or outside the gate. My, oh my. The all-seeing, all-piercing eye of Yahweh can discover no flaw in Christ's blood. You ever think of that? God can't see no flaw in the blood of Christ. And what are we covered in, Brother Dave?
Blood.
The blood. Huh? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There's no flaw. Woo, my, that's just wonderful. No flaw, no blemish. Perfect. And here we are, yet sinners, but saved right now. Right now. Secure in Christ right now. Because it's not based upon our performance. It's based upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're born again, you must be born again, the scripture says. And when you're born again and given, that only comes by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who again, sent by Christ, right? What a gift. Gives us faith to believe, repentance too before God.
Does it all.
And here we are now. We sin now and then we go, Lord, please forgive me. But we never did that before. But it's already, yeah, it's already forgiven, but we still go to the Lord, don't we? Forgive me, Lord, I'm such a sinner. And he knows. He knows. And he's the one mediator between God and man. There ain't no other person on this earth who's a mediator between God and man. The only one is the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, look at this. There's no flaw in Christ's blood. It contained no tinge of sin. It's precious blood. It's perfect blood. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the Lamb. Do you know it's without spot and blemish? My, see, we have a terminal disease we're born into this world with. And I'll tell you what, you know, we had that pandemic. That's nothing compared to the pandemic of sin. There's only one cure for the pandemic of sin. Yeah. What is it? Yeah. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Oh, my. Have you trusted Christ? Is he your Savior? Oh, I encourage you to cast yourself upon him. He's the only hope for sinners. He's the only hope for sinners. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at this, verses 18 to 21. For as much, now Peter's writing to saints who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he says this, for as much as you know, this is something God's people know. This is something we've been taught. We don't know it naturally. We've been taught after we're born again. That ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. So you can't buy your way into heaven. Look at this. As silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. So we can't buy our way into heaven. And we can't be, we can't get to heaven because of tradition either. No. Look at this. But with what? But with the precious. And I mean it's so precious. God's people, to God's people, is the most precious thing. Right? But with the precious blood of Christ is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, there's no tinge of sin in Christ at all. His blood's perfect blood. His blood's redeeming blood. God himself shed his blood to save his church. Oh my. Oh, and look at this. And it gets even better for us. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for who? You put your name in there. Put your name in there. Isn't that wonderful? Manifest for you. Who by him, now look at this, who by him do believe in God. We only believe in God through Christ. Remember, he gives eternal life. Look, see, he gets all the glory. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in who? God alone. The blood of the Lamb is the blood of God, right? The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. Fully God and fully man. I'll tell you what. And who's our hope? Who's our hope in? Our hope's in God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God incarnate in the flesh. He's the only hope for sinners. If you're hoping in yourself, cast that hope away, because it'll just lead you to hell. Christ Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Are you laboring with works, trying to get into heaven by your works? Oh, it's never good enough. Never. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Ah, it works, weeping and works, it's heavy. Man of religion just weighs you down. Oh my gosh. Do this, do that. It's more rocks in the bag. Yeah, just weighs you down. See, but when you get to the cross, that bag full of rocks of our sins, it slide right off, doesn't it, brother? We're unencumbered now, right? Oh, my, praise his mighty name. Oh, my, run a race without a bag of rocks on you. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. And our hope and our faith is in God. He's our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the Lamb of God, shed his blood to redeem our eternal souls. And the Lamb's blood, again, was unpolluted, untainted, and can cleanse all his people's sins away. Oh, it's exclusively suitable to sanctify us. You ever think of that? It's exclusively suitable to sanctify us and to redeem we who are his people. My, oh my. And when Jesus Christ went to heaven in the ascension, he took us with him. Do you know that? Oh my. Positionally, we're positionally already seated in the heavens with him. There's a fizz break there, right? Okay, I don't understand it. But I believe it. I believe it. Because God's word says we're seated in the heavens already with him. Oh my. And we're ransomed, we're redeemed, and we're sanctified in Christ, beloved. And from that point on, the Father could never see sin in us. And our growth in grace, as we learn more about this, as we learn more how Christ's blood has cleansed us from all sin, as we learn more about the power of God In the power of the blood of Christ, we'll become more and more secure just resting in Christ and Him alone. It'll give us peace while we're here on this earth. Peace for our souls. Now the big question should occupy our mind is not what we can do, but rather, what has Christ done for us? What has Christ done for us? Our lives, you ever think this day of our lives are now hidden? Hidden in Christ. Hidden in God. And you know what? We're complete in Him, brother. Complete. Paid in full. Our sins are all paid for. We're complete in Christ. He'll never reckon our sins against us. Never. Never. My. We are washed and sanctified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And if we sin, and we will, we have the privilege of instantly bringing our wretchedness to our high priest, the only mediator between God and man. And what do we plead? We plead His blood, don't we? They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. And our sins may cause us to cower in alarm as we think of God's potential sore displeasure, but it's the blood that tells us what the Father really thinks of us. And He sees us. Think of this. Let this just soak into your heart, beloved. If you're in Christ, He sees us set apart. He sees us already sanctified in Christ because we're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And we cannot be taken away from Christ. We cannot be taken away from Christ. Listen to this quote from Spurgeon. Marvel at this precious truth that the apostle says that we who are the priests of God have a right as priests to go to God's mercy seat that is within the veil, but it were to our death to go in there unless we were perfect. But we are perfect, for the blood of Christ has been sprinkled on us, and therefore our standing before God is the standing of perfection. And that's in Christ only. We're sinners. But God sees us in Christ, doesn't He? Isn't that wonderful? Scripture says we're qualified for heaven. We're made meet, it says, and that's qualified in the Greek. We're qualified for heaven. How? By the blood of the Lamb. By in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. Now does this give us a license to sin? Paul says, God forbid. God forbid. Don't give us a license. And the true believer thrives on fellowship with the Father. But if we sin and grieve the Holy Spirit, then we'll lose our joy is what happens. Therefore, as we grow in grace, the Spirit of God begins to teach us. You know what He teaches us? A hatred of sin in ourselves more than anywhere else. Doesn't He teach us that, beloved? My, oh my. You think of this. I'm going to leave us with this too. The blood's already bought us to God. The blood of the Lamb's already bought us to God, beloved. We're saved and sanctified in Christ Jesus our Lord. The blood's already made us fit for heaven. My, oh my. We're sanctified believers, and we have continual access to the throne of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can come with all our needs, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is. No matter if it's a little or a little big or a little small. It's all small in God's eyes, isn't it? Oh my. So rejoice, beloved of God. We are redeemed all because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are qualified to come to His throne. All because of the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for His precious, precious blood. that was shed to redeem the souls of his people. Brother Dave, can you close us in prayer?